My name is Pierce Homer, and I would like to call to order the first meeting of the Navy Hill Development Advisory Commission. This is our organizational meeting. So this is the call to order. The second item on the agenda is a public comment period. Does anybody want to talk to our now two-member commission? Okay, I would like to just quickly go around the room and just see who we have here. We start this way and go around the room, please.
John Webb, City Director of Finance. Economic Development.
I'm Sam McGrone, a journalist covering the Coliseum issue.
I'm Margaret Rockwell, I'm with the Wireless.
Chris Lloyd from Wireless Consulting.
Darren Harvin, just a third district resident.
Debbie,
I'm
the city resident.
Sharon Ebert, Deputy CAO for Planning and Economic Development.
Justin Mattingly, Times Dispatch.
Roberta Roldan, VPM.
Jennifer Muller with Rock Jackson.
Megan Brown, Interim Chief Staff.
Candace Reed, City Clerk.
Allison Meister, Boards and Commission Administrator.
Summer Morris, Liaison to Council Jones.
Michael Jones.
Our honored guest, Mr. Jones. We've got two more visitors. You guys want to identify yourselves real quick?
Hi, I'm Steve Fishback. I work at the Virginia Poverty Law Center.
And Laura Ram, also at Virginia Poverty Law Center.
Okay, great. Thank you. Since there are newcomers here, does anybody else want to provide any public comment? So before we go to the next item on the agenda, I did just want to talk a little bit about, again, this is John Gerner. John is the vice chair, and we've been tasked, the two of us, in kind of an unusual arrangement where we've got to find seven additional members to staff out the commission. And so the ordinance provided for certain skill sets that needed to be addressed. Obviously, in Richmond, there are geographic and community makeup issues we've taken into account in this. And so what we have is a package of seven nominees that will be considered by City Council. So it'll be up to Council to accept or reject each of those nominees. And at some point, Candace, we may ask where that would be on the agenda. Is that currently scheduled for next Tuesday? Do you know?
There's currently scheduled a discussion regarding the remaining membership for the commission for the next organizational development standing committee meeting at 5 o'clock next Tuesday. But I'm not sure how the council plans to proceed with making those decisions.
Okay. So, further discussion on Tuesday. We've got a couple more newcomers. If y'all could just identify yourselves, please.
Hi, I'm Whitney White with JMI.
I think we're going to kind of dispense with the identifications. We're growing a little bit here beyond that. So with respect to the nomination of the additional members, we have seven names that John and I have worked to develop over the last several weeks. August and late July is not a great time for finding people and having communications, in particular with respect to the amount of time that we believe that this commission is going to take. But basically, we asked three questions. Are you a resident of the city, or is your business here in the city? Number one. Number two, do you have any bias with respect to this project, its sponsors, and can you fairly and analytically evaluate it? And number three, do you have the time? We are looking at work sessions probably every other week of a couple hours in duration. And again, I would emphasize we are nine volunteers, or we will be nine volunteers, with a $5,000 budget to look at a $1.4 billion project in a couple thousand pages. So that's a daunting task, and it's a lot to ask of citizen volunteers. And so I hope folks will give those volunteers the benefit of the doubt and the focus that they deserve. So John, did you want to talk at all about the process at all before we get into the actual names?
No, I think you've recapped it well. I mean, our goal is to objectively and independently look at this project and to make sure that the public has every opportunity to provide a contribution to the discussion.
Okay. So the seven nominees that we will be recommending to City Council, and these, I will say, we're going to talk a little bit afterwards when we talk about our FOIA officer, which will be John Gerner. We will have a website that is up and running today, along with email addresses for the commission. All of this will be made public there, so there'll be a high degree of transparency around the commission's individuals, documents, and statements in those meetings.
And let me just add, if you email either one of us, then and ask to be put on a mailing list, once we set that up, we will put you on that list, and you'll get notified, of course, before any of our meetings and other relevant information.
So what that means for today is council and the community are looking at nominees. About an hour or two after we're done here, there will be a posting with the application and the resume of all seven nominees. So the nominees start in alphabetical order.
In alphabetical order.
Mm-hmm. Richard Crom. Richard is an IRS financial analyst.
Excuse me, do you have a copy of that?
Yes. I don't know how many copies we do have. Again, this will be up on the website. Richard is an IRS analyst, and he focuses on nonprofit organizations. That is his analytical and professional experience. The second nominee is Mark Gordon. Mark Gordon had worked with Bon Secours for a number of years. He was specifically involved in the East End development of both healthcare, grocery stores, and a community center.
Yeah, my backyard.
Mark Gordon, importantly, is private sector, and you'll see there's a heavy orientation among these nominees for private sector representation. The third nominee is Grindley Johnson. Grindley is the Deputy Secretary of Administration for the Commonwealth. In that capacity, she has oversight of procurement in the state, and also for minority and disadvantaged procurement programs. She is an expert in that. The fourth nominee is Suzanne Long. Ms. Long is currently a real estate attorney, but she has served as a bond attorney in at least two law firms. Importantly, she had led the Virginia Resources Authority, which oversees a lot of this conduit type of financing. The fourth nominee is Mimi Sadler. Mimi is an area architect. She had served as the chair of the Commission on Architectural Review Board. She's the only architect that we have on the commission, and this is really valuable service. The fifth nominee is Mike Shule. Mike is a practicing attorney, currently with Tredegar, before that with McGuire Woods, and I served with Mike in the Mark Warner cabinet, who's Secretary of Commerce and Trade, actively involved in affordable housing issues locally. The last name that we're bringing forward is Mr. Corey Walker. Mr. Walker is a professor at the University of Richmond. Before that, he was the academic dean at Virginia Union, and he has very specific experience with downtown redevelopment when he was in Winston-Salem. And just on a lighter note with Mr. Walker, when I spoke with him, since he is a dean and professor of theology, that perhaps he could educate us a little bit about what is a moral obligation bond. We'll be seeking his advice on that matter.
Yeah. And I'm reading his book, which is available on Amazon.
Right. So the detailed applications and resumes will be available online in a couple hours. And when we get to the next item on the agenda, we will be talking about that address so that people can get to the website for that.
Okay. Well, before you go on, let me just say that if you want the information right away, you can email me at johngerner@navyhillcommission.org, and I will send you a link to download not only the list of names that Pierce has just said, but the application form and the resumes for each of those seven. nominees. And also, it should be available very soon from the city website as well.
I do have one favor to ask, is these are all volunteers, and I indicated predominantly private sector. They have day jobs. There may be a whole lot of people wanting to talk to them individually. Please respect, you know, these are just nominations right now. And again, if you're news media or advocacy, whatever, it is important to respect the volunteer. As I said, hopefully we will be 9 volunteers with a $5,000 budget. We've got to husband our time on the most important issues of the day. So that we're going to forward, we're done with commentary period. Those are the recommendations we're making to City Council. As John and I have worked through, we believe they are a package that touch the technical skills that are laid out in the ordinance by the city, that there are people who have a passion for good government and high quality development, and most importantly, they are willing to devote the significant time to get this really due diligence committee underway on behalf of the City Council. So with that, we're going to turn to the next to last item on the agenda, which is the designation of John Gerner as our FOIA officer. We believe that transparency and accountability is paramount for a commission like this. This is a daunting project and complex. So the opportunities for fake news, for controversy are extremely high. And one of the things that we have done with John, and I want to brag a little bit on John so you all know who he is. John is a professional leisure consultant. So what John does around the country is look at leisure and entertainment venues and their financial and market feasibility. Can a music hall work? Can a stadium work? Is there the demand for it? What's the revenue profile? What kind of public and private sector support is there? In addition, John is very skilled in the ways of technology, which I am not. So John has set up an email system where all the official emails of the commission will be listed and archived and available to the public. And that will include recordings of meetings and public commentary, as well as any documents that are made available to the commission. He, as I indicated, also has a website on this. And in terms of the Freedom of Information Act, again, hopefully any request that comes into us under as a Freedom of Information or as a citizen inquiry, we should be able to answer instantaneously. There won't be any hidden emails. They will be among the commissioners. Our documents that the commission is using will be posted online, and we will have recordings of the meetings. We'll work out with the city clerk as how detailed the actual meeting minutes will be, again, because we have limited budget and resources. So John, why don't you talk a little bit about email, website, and then availability of documents, how those can be accessed.
Yes, as Pierce just said, we've set up an email system, and we can be reached immediately, the two of us, at Pierce Homer, one word, at NavyHillCommission.org, and myself at John Gerner, one word, at NavyHillCommission.org. If you go to NavyHillCommission.org right now, you'll just see a coming soon page, because as we are in the forming stage until we get a full commission. But at that point, even with just that starter page, you have a link to our individual email addresses. And also, as soon as I get back home, I will add a link to download the list of the 7 nominees along with their application forms and resumes. So you'll have that as well on our current website. And the goal is to have that website provide information on not only the individuals involved in the commission, but also our upcoming meetings, as the City Council ordinance has instructed us. We are to have at least 4 major public hearings. The goal is to have those meetings in each of the 4 quadrants of the city, and to have them at an accessible time. And right now, that's what we're planning to do. And so the website will have information on those meetings, and we will do everything we can to make them a comfortable space. That means large enough to accommodate what we expect to be a large number of people, and to provide as much as we can an accessible, open place that everyone can contribute to this discussion. The website will also have information about other aspects of the commission as we do our work. So I point you to that website to get a sense of where we are. But as Pierce just said, at this point, we are in the stage of forming the commission and beginning to start the planning of all of that work that we're going to be doing during the 90 days once we get officially started. As far as FOIA, I've not only become very familiar with the FOIA statutes in the state code, but have also begun a FOIA training with the, and that's why I was looking at my phone a moment ago because I didn't want to mispronounce the name of the group, the Virginia Freedom of Information Advisory Council, which is a state advisory council that provides training to both state level and local level and other FOIA officers. I started training this week on meetings and learned all about the FOIA requirements for our meetings, and of course we'll follow those requirements, as well as the next training session I'm taking is early next month in records. So we will, from the very beginning, even though we're a new commission, we're starting off with at least an understanding, and we're doing everything we can to get the skills involved in doing this the right way from the start.
Okay, let me ask Candace, is there anything we need to do formally to transmit the nominations to council? Do we need a two-person motion?
I don't believe so.
Okay, all right. Well then, our business for the day is conducted, well, Mr. Jones.
And I could, we could either, and Madam Clerk, we could either hold this for when the names come officially before us. But one of the things I want, that I'd have a question on, is in the selection process, how have y'all worked with the individuals who are on, who you've recommended? I heard one name, and you said that you guys were in a particular cabinet together. And I'd be interested to know, you know, what connections, ties, affiliations you have, each of you have with the individuals that are listed here. So we could either deal with that now.
Yeah. No, I mean, we can deal with that now. I mean, I can tell you, that's a very good question. I can just tell you for myself, because I typically do work outside the city. I mean, essentially all of my work is outside the city, so all of the individuals I have not personally been involved with as far as my own personal or professional projects.
Okay. So I know Mr. Shule from time in the Warner cabinet, and I know Ms. Johnson from time in the Kane administration.
And so, and again, for me, and again, we'll have to deal with it here or in James.
Well, probably
I'd like to have an understanding of what that looks like and the time frame.
Well, as we said,
let me finish. Mm-hmm. Because again, there were several individuals that did apply, and I just want to make sure that there is no hint of favoritism. That okay, here's someone that I knew from a previous life or something else, and they make it here. Especially when we deal with individual selected commissions, and that's mm-hmm. what. Council, typically when we approach individuals or nominate individuals, we look to see, are there past relationships and what are some of those connections? Mm-hmm. And something like this, I think that's important, or at least for me it's important. So
okay. Happy to address those with council, sir.
All right, yeah. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right, if we don't need to take any other action, our business,
I was just gonna add, I mean, since we're running quickly here, let's have one more opportunity. If anyone wanted to speak, from those of you that are here, if any of you want to come up and tell us anything before we end the meeting, please feel free to do so. Anyone?
welcome, Mr. Helpert.
And we want the welcome.
It's a judicious close here.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I just missed the opening part. What did you describe in terms of the public input? I mean, we have an email capability. I assume you'll have these public comment sessions in each public meeting. Are there other opportunities to submit more substantial analyses and testimony?
Yeah. I mean, our goal is to maximize the opportunity for the public to be involved. I've looked at, personally, the Monument Avenue Commission, and thankfully their website is still up, and so I was just personally using them as one role model to make sure that we have all the opportunities that we can for public contribution, and the website is being designed with that in mind.
I'm sorry, what was the process for getting nominations? I'm sorry if I missed that at the beginning of the meeting. What was that process? Okay. What did it look like?
I can only speak, probably could start with, I mean, it began soon after City Council approved the commission, and I believe that was back last December. And in that ordinance, there was a process, and the process was that council would first select the chair and the vice chair, and then, as we're finding out today, the chair and the vice chair nominates the other seven members.
Okay, so you all, okay.
In response to that initial beginning of the process in December, there was an initial application process for those who wanted to be considered for chair, vice chair. And out of, and in my recollection is about 24 applicants sent a application form and resume to the city clerk's office for that initial consideration. And we were one of the two, you know, one of those 24.
Right.
Us were the, we too were the chosen chair and vice chair out of that original pool of applicants. Afterwards, because the city attorney had said to city council that we were free to consider others, there was an open process for others to apply. Anyone that expressed an interest to the city clerk's office, and of course they can add to what I'm about to say, anyone that had submitted a resume or an application form or both, or even just an email saying I would like to be on the commission, was forwarded to us. And so we were aware of every person that had contacted the city clerk's office saying I would like to be considered. And in addition, we also began doing our own personal research as far as others that we thought could be helpful. And that was essentially our process.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question.
You tell me if this is an appropriate time for me to indicate some subjects I'd like for you to investigate, or should that be held for the public hearing?
No, if you want to give us some idea, as long
I will say this can be get quite voluminous, and I would encourage you to follow up in writing. As we indicated earlier, there is a website with email addresses, and having something in black and white can help us just to filter information, but we're happy to listen for just a minute.
Yeah, I mean, you have an outline.
Well, I'll just hit three high points that I would like to find out more about. One is that we continually hear that the phrase build it and beyond so it will come, or something to that effect. The arena.
Okay.
I'm asking about the...
Please, that way I'll make sure to get what
you're saying. Okay. I'm asking about the viability of the arena compared with other regional markets. Richmond does not rank very high as a media market. Washington, D.C. is number six. Charlotte is way up there. Norfolk is ahead of us. Are we building an arena that's the right size? Do we need an arena? Does the market support it? Or will Beyonce, in fact, go to another market? So that's one question. The other thing we keep hearing from the developer is that there's no revenue from the TIF zone without this project, other than a 2% annual growth rate apparently projected in the Davenport study. And I think there's a story here that's not being told about what might happen if the area were developed differently with a different project or a different series of projects. So we need to look at what the real number is for revenue potential for the city in that third narrative where there's another project. And the other question that I'm not getting a satisfactory answer to is, why doesn't the developer want to own the Coliseum itself? Why does the city need to retain ownership of that to make it work? And that's all I really have, and I can talk about that more later. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just wanted to add that those are the kinds of topics we want to hear from you about. And please feel free to contribute whatever information, insights. As Pierce had already mentioned, I'll just speak for myself. I mean, this is what I do for a living in consulting, is gather information and try to put it into a coherent form to present to clients. And I have actually personally been involved in a similar situation, not here, but up in New York State for Greene County. I was, my consulting firm, and it was me personally who did this work, was retained by the county board there to consider a project that was being proposed in that county that was asking for developer incentives. And so that process was similar to this one. There was a consultant report that had been prepared for the developer, and I reviewed it, and there was additional analysis that board specifically wanted to have done, such as doing some sensitivity analysis on the bond that they would be providing for infrastructure. That was the incentive that they were being asked to provide, was infrastructure improvements for this new development. And so I tailored my work for the needs of that board. And at least personally, that's how I see our work here. Our client, you know, the way I look at it from my consulting lenses, is our client is City Council. And so our job is to provide advice to City Council and to put it in such a way that they will be able to use it and to be responsive to whatever their needs are concerning this issue. And I think we start with that focus.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Hilbert, the floor is yours. You have the last word.
Thank you. I'm not trying to be funny here, but I'm just thinking of the Mueller report, which clearly, in my mind, laid out 10 instances where the president had obstructed justice or attempted to obstruct justice. Is your report going to say at the end, don't do this, do it, or here are the risk factors in order of importance or in order of, you know, a high likelihood not to happen? Will there be a definitive conclusion, or will they be each individual portion of it put into risk factors? I know it's a bad analogy,
In a perfect world, if we were consultants that controlled the report, we would probably follow a format very much like that. But we're going to have 9 very independent people. And I've had conversations, and John has, with these people. They have very strong intellect and ability, so I don't want to prejudge that. I do believe, though, that an identification of risk up front and any potential mitigating measures, that's a standard format. Will that be agreed to by the commission? Don't know. And there is no such thing as a risk-free project, so we want to make sure that we identify those clearly. I think one of the biggest challenges we have, and I've read all 1,000 pages of this, this is dry reading. And there's a lot packed in there. It's very difficult to communicate that to a commission of 9, let alone to a larger public. It's a very dense transaction. I will say I have the benefit of having been through a number like this, as has John, so I'm comfortable doing it. But it is a lot. There are many moving parts to this transaction.
No, we're just getting started. What we have to go with is what was in the ordinance originally. The ordinance said that our goal and task is to seek to validate the assumptions and information that has been presented on this project. So essentially, we've been given what I would consider a due diligence task from the start. Take no assumption for granted, go through methodically and test the assumptions, confirm the information, and work within the initial framework of what's been presented, but initially do that due diligence effort. So that's a given from the start because it's in the ordinance. Beyond that, of course, we want to be responsive to what City Council wants. But of course, as Pierce just brought out, City Council is composed of 9 individuals. So ultimately, we will be responsive, in my opinion, to the consensus of what City Council wants. And however you want to determine a consensus through majority vote or some other more informal way, you know, that is up to you. But our goal is to be responsive to the wishes of the consensus of City Council and to adapt our work, because this is a relatively unique situation. So there really is not a template for us to work from. So as a result, you can, I want to just emphasize that we will respond to your needs. You are, you know, as I said earlier, you are the client in this sense, you know, looking at it through the consultant eyes. And you tell us if there's some other aspect that you want. But beyond that, we do have flexibility from each member of the commission to bring our own unique perspective, experience, and expertise. And at least from the beginning, and again, I can only speak as an individual of the commission, so I cannot speak for the commission since we don't have a quorum, and a quorum is 5. But as an individual, one of the first, I can tell you that my goal is to make sure that all of the members have an opportunity to express their views and the underlying analysis to the extent that they want to. That the goal is not to restrict, but to encourage and to empower the commission members. Because as Pierce had brought up, you know, these are volunteers. They're not being compensated. They're going to give up a lot of time and effort. But they're doing this effort because they feel they can be helpful to City Council. And so, at least personally, I'm going to do what I can to help them in providing the advice that they want to give.
Well, thank you. I'm just, and like I said, that wasn't a perfect analogy, but I think there was an expectation from the public with the aforementioned report that it would be, you know, these things were committed, throwing out indictments, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the general public has the feeling that this commission is going to give this a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And from what I heard you just say, it's going to be more of, here are the risk factors, here's some things that can mitigate these risks, and pretty much go with that versus an overall conclusion of run for your life, and this is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, it may very well be at either end of the spectrum. We'll just have to wait
right.
and see.
Right. I mean,
and if I could, I know I don't want to belabor the hour. First of all, let me say this: thank you for the time that you have committed already, and the time that is just going to suck any discretionary time that you might have.
Tell my boss. Okay?
Yes, indeed. Right. So you know, I commend the two of you for that. And my concern will just be the process of transparency. And a lot of that is going to be on my colleagues, Mr. Vice President, and understanding the process. I didn't know that we were getting necessarily handed names today versus this being a working session. I'm put at a disadvantage because I have names in front of me that we haven't begun to vet on our end, but it's already made completely public as if it's done, versus then the piece of the rest of my colleagues being, you know, present. That, and this is just my opinion, and I'll just give my opinion. I think this is something that should have been done in a meeting in front of all of council to say, here's what we have, or if this is a working session, we're going to work to get on these names and, you know, allow us to be a part of that process, because this is a commission, you know, that's appointed by council. So I thought this was going to be more of a working session versus, you know, with, especially with the press here, they're running out with names, saying, here are the names. And so anything that I do on my end, and again, I've just done it. I need an account for individuals that you're coming in with prior knowledge to, because I know out of the other individuals whose names were on there are other qualified people out there. And so how did that selection process go down, right? How did that happen? I appreciate the diversity. I know I said that in our last meeting. I appreciate that. Man, hey, I'm a Panther, went through the school theology at Virginia Union. Sad to see Dr. Walker go, but you know, hey, it is what it is. He's a spider now, but again, so I appreciate the diversity and the attempt at that. But again, council, and this a lot of it's not cheap. Council needs to be up to date on how this process is going, because again, I'm thinking that this is going to be a working session, that we're going to have some type of discussion to hear how y'all are going about this versus, hey, here are the names right here. Then I'm talking to, I asked, you know, a couple questions of our clerk. Are these the same names, or are these names, were these names the same names that were submitted to all of council before that had already said we want to be a part of the commission, but it looks like we went outside of that? And I guess, again, you can do whatever it is you were commissioned to do or whatever happened in the last meeting. So I just want to caution us to make sure, and to caution the two of you, make sure that we are very, very, if we're going to err on the side of transparency. Mm-hmm. So there is no, because again, you know, the nine of us, you know, we're going to have to make a decision based on the information that we get, that we go through as we go through the process, as we look at a consultant that we're going to bring in, along with the work that the commission is going to do, and then public input. So we've got a lot of things weighing on us, but I want to make sure, again, that this process errs on the side of transparency. And I don't want, you know, for us to trip getting out the gate, okay? And so, you know, I've already shared with our clerk a couple concerns I have, and I'll talk with the president and vice president of council as we continue to move through this arduous process. But again, let me say this. Man, it is so easy to Monday morning quarterback what it is y'all are going to do. It is, and I will say that and lay that presupposition down, that it is so much easier to sit back after you've done everything, to sit back and nitpick and say, hey, this. But, you know, that's kind of what you signed up for. So my apologies in advance. So with that, I'm good. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that, I mean, we're working within the process that was given to us. And the ordinance that we are working from, passed by City Council, just to for those that are not familiar with the ordinance stated that within 10 working days after we were sworn in, which is today is 10 working days, we were to meet and choose nominees, and that those nominees, and I want to emphasize, they're just nominees. You know, we cannot choose the members. Only City Council can choose the members of the commission. But we were tasked with providing a list of 7 nominees that the two of us, the chair and vice chair, felt were qualified to be on the commission. You're meeting next Tuesday, I believe, for the organizational meeting. There is an expectation that those nominees will be discussed during that meeting. From our perspective, of course, you have total flexibility as far as what you do with the names that we provide you. You know, we are simply following what we were told to do and provide those names and explain. And with those names, each member, you know, just like everyone else, you know, each member of council will have not only the names, but also the application form. That is the same application form that the two of us filled out initially for vice chair, as well as the resume for all of those 7. And they're already in a, and I know because I put together the group PDF file. And for those of you, there was, in order, I'll just give a technical aside, the group PDF file that is immediately available, unfortunately for the application, there's a fill in the blank aspect to it, and there's only so many letters that can be put in some of those blanks. Some of the applicants that we have nominated put in more than what would fit in the application. In order to create the group PDF, I essentially had to what's called flatten the form into images and it cropped off. If you want that additional information, just let me know, and I will send you the application form from that nominee, and it will have all of the information that that nominee put for each one of those blanks in the form. But you will have the application form and the resume for each of those seven nominees for your meeting next week, and then based on whatever you decide, we will respond accordingly.
So I think we can declare this meeting adjourned. This is a two-member commission right now. We hope to get up to a full complement of seven. I would remind folks that the ordinance does call for specific skill sets to be represented. And from my perspective as chair, it's important that we try and fulfill as many of those as we can so that we can ask and analyze this project from a multifaceted perspective. Thank you.